Okay, this is our final class in this teacher training course that we've been going through. We've actually had 7 studies as a part of this particular series, and we've had a few times where we've been able to share particular lessons that we have developed that has not been recorded for later viewing or for the website. But we've had actually 7 times where we have talked about how do we prepare ourselves to teach. And so we talked about the matter of how do you study the Bible. Before you can ever teach somebody the Bible, before you can ever prepare a lesson, you need to know how do I sit down and study the Bible so that I understand, so that I know what the Bible is saying. So we spent some time doing that in the early lessons. And then we spent time looking at how do I prepare a Bible class lesson. We talked about some general principles that are involved in preparing a Bible class lesson. And then we talked about how do you prepare a textual study, how do you prepare a topical study. Last time we talked about how do you prepare a character study. And so in this last class, what we want to do is, now that we've learned how to study, now that we've talked about how do you prepare a lesson, this last class is, okay, how do I present this Bible class lesson? How do I go from my studies and my preparation and putting together the lesson to actually walking into the classroom and in the classroom teaching what I have prepared? And so what we're doing tonight are just some general principles. There's obviously more specific things that we could say in various parts of this, but we're just going to present some general principles that would apply to all upper class teaching, whether it be junior high, senior high, or adult classes. These are some principles that would be helpful for you to employ as you step into that classroom. Now, there's 13 things on this list, and what would you expect number one to be? It's number one on our list as we've talked about all of these things, and that is, before you ever walk into that classroom, you need to pray. Now, we talked about praying as you study. We talked about praying as you prepare. But you need to pray before and as you are presenting the Word of God. This isn't your word, it's His word. It's not your lesson, it's His lesson. It's not your people, it's His people. It's not your church, His church, and on and on. And so we need to spend time talking to God. You know, and so oftentimes, maybe I should say all the time, there's a few times where I have forgotten and I have I've been the worst for it. But oftentimes when I am walking into a classroom, when I am walking to the pulpit, I am praying, Lord, please help me with this. And so it is even at that last moment, as I have been driving to the building, as I've been putting the last touches on the lesson, as I've been coming into the building and walking into the classroom or walking into the pulpit or whatever it may be, Lord, please help me with this. Spend time praying. Let God help you in the presentation of the Word of God. Number two, as you are getting ready to walk into the classroom, as you're getting ready to present your lesson, think about those who are going to be in the class. Visualize who's going to be there. As you are leaving work, as you're leaving your house, as you're driving, as you're walking into the building, as you're going into the classroom, visualize. Think about, remember, this isn't for you. The study has been great for you. The preparation has been great for you. But the teaching, while you are learning, even while you teach, the teaching is for those who are in the class. So think about them. And number two, a part of this, pray for them. This lesson is for them. Pray for them. Pray that God will open their hearts and open their minds to what you're going to present. Pray that God will allow His Word to change their lives. Think about them. Focus the class on the people who will be in there. Number three, realize that the actual presentation of your lesson is going to vary slightly depending on multiple factors here. And so you may have prepared a lesson, and hopefully in your preparation, you know what these factors are going to be, because even in your preparation will vary slightly based upon these same factors. But as you're getting ready to present this lesson, realize that it's going to vary slightly based upon some various factors. Number one, it's going to vary based upon you as the teacher and whatever your comfort level is. You are going to be a different teacher than any other teacher. You're not going to teach the same as Dan. You're not going to teach the same as one of the elders. You're not going to teach the same as Josh. You're not going to teach the same as me. This, you are your own individual, and so you need to teach based upon who you are, what your abilities are, what your comfort level is. Don't try to teach like somebody else. Try to teach like Jesus if you're going to try to teach like somebody else. But put it within your own abilities. So your lesson is, it needs to fit you. We've said that all along. But another factor that's going to impact your presentation of your lesson is the location of the class. Whether you're teaching in the auditorium, whether you're teaching a large classroom area, whether you're teaching a small classroom area, whether you're teaching maybe in the library, the conference room, or something that's even smaller and more intimate, your lesson's going to vary slightly based upon where that class is located. You will not teach the same in this room as you will in the auditorium. They're just two different places, two different venues and feel for it. And so, you know, the auditorium is a whole different type of place to teach. And so you need to know ahead of time where you're going to be teaching. And then as you're getting ready to present your lesson, you need to realize, okay, where am I teaching? It's going to vary based upon the class size. Is this a large group? Is this a medium-sized group? Is it a small group? Am I going to have 6 or 7 in the class? Am I going to have 60 or 70 in the class? Am I going to have 200 or 300 in the class? That varies what you're able to do in the class. And it's your presentation will vary also based upon the class members, not just the class location, not just the class size, but based upon the class members. Do you have young Christians or older Christians? You have young adults or older adults? Are you talking to teenagers? You talking to new Christians? Are you talking to more seasoned Christians? Is it a ladies class? Is it a men's class? So the specific makeup of the individuals who are in the class is going to adjust your presentation slightly. And so it's helpful to know these things in advance, but it's also important that you are flexible. You need to be flexible in recognition that you may be thinking, all right, I'm going to walk in and I'm going to have 40 people in the class. You might walk in, you might have 7 in the class. You need to be flexible. Realize, okay, this, it's the same material, same lesson. Not that you're changing what you're teaching, but how you teach it may change based upon some of these factors. And so you'll need to be able to adjust to those things. Number 4, and this is important, nervousness is natural. It doesn't seem right, but I want you to know that. Being nervous is natural, and you should expect to be nervous. It is when your body thinks about what you're going to be doing, and when your body is standing before an audience, there is a natural rush, there's a natural adrenaline that kicks in. And our bodies handle that adrenaline differently. Sometimes your legs will literally shake because of the adrenaline and the nervousness that's running through your body. Sometimes you will sweat, and sometimes that sweat will be coming off your face, off of your hands, off of your torso. Sometimes your voice will quiver. As you go through this, you know, your voice might squeak, you know, even sometimes. And so you need to realize that nervousness is natural, you know, and it's to be expected. In the auditorium, when we moved into this building, one of the considerations when we moved in the building was the possibility of putting one of those clear plexiglass kind of pulpits up on the stage. You know, that was very popular 17 years ago. We were coming in here, should we have a clear pulpit? And one of the reasons that we chose not to do that was the realization that there are going to be men standing behind that pulpit, whether it's to pray or to preside or read scripture or whatever it may be. And those men, they want something that they can sort of hide behind. They don't want people to see their legs and what they're doing with their legs, whether they're shaking or whether they're moving them around. And so why do you do that? Because you're nervous. Nervous is natural. Now, what do? Thrive on it. As you can, take, again, nervousness is a buildup of energy in your body. It's a rush. It is an adrenaline push in your body. Take that and thrive on it. Channel it and use it. Don't let it deter you. Don't let your shaking hands, as you're trying to turn the pages in your Bible and your hands are shaking because you're nervous, Don't let that distract you. That's going to happen, and that's okay. Expect it, but then try, as the more experience you have in teaching, to take that energy and to channel it through into your teaching. Sometimes nervousness will capitalize and create more nervousness. If you focus on being nervous, sometimes that'll make you more nervous. And so just accept that you're going to be nervous and say, you know, that's okay. But use it. And I don't think you need to tell the class that you're nervous. They know that you are. Sometimes you're going to show that you are, but they know that you are because everybody's nervous when they stand up. So don't apologize for being nervous. Don't make a big deal out of being nervous. It's okay to be nervous, but don't let that distract you from teaching, and don't let it distract the class from what you're trying to say. Number five, when you are teaching the Bible, you need to be enthusiastic about teaching the Bible. We are teaching the greatest book on the face of the earth. We're teaching the greatest news that's ever been told. We are teaching the most exciting story that's ever been heard. We need to be enthusiastic about it. If you love it, guess what the people who are in your class will do? They are going to love it. If you find it interesting, if you say, look at this verse, look at what this says over here. If you find it interesting, guess what they're going to do? They are going to find it interesting. But if you make it boring, if you make it to where there is lack of interest even on your part in the teaching of it, guess what the person sitting in the class is going to have? They're going to have a hard time not being bored, even if they want to try to not be bored. So don't make it boring. Have a natural energy that comes from your studying, a natural energy that comes in to teaching the class, and help everybody in the class to learn to love what you're studying. Help them to learn to be excited about it, to find interest in it. And so when you stand up, and don't make it fake. Now, I'm not saying be fake about it, but I am saying that when you walk in, you don't need to be, you don't let your tiredness or your weariness, oh boy, you know, I've had a hard day, I've had a hard week, and all of a sudden that keeps the Bible from coming alive. Get yourself out of the way. But allow your energies and your excitement for the Bible to come through, and other people will enjoy it as well. Help people in the class to be reminded of the relevancy of the Bible for today. It's not some old, dull, boring book that has nothing to do with us. It has application for us today, and we need to be energetic about finding and making that application. Number six, this is so important. Number six, this is general principles for presenting, for teaching a Bible class. Number six, make a habit of getting to class on time. And the rest of that statement says, make a habit of getting to class on time, which means be there early. Worst thing a teacher can do is get the class off to the wrong start by being late to class, or just walking in right at the last second to start teaching the class. That just sends a vibe through the class that all of a sudden it's just off on the wrong foot before it even starts. Be there on time. Greet people as they're coming to the class. Talk to people before class even starts. Be a part of the class yourself. Rather than being aloof from the rest of the class, be a part of the class yourself. Be involved with people even as class starts, but be there on time. It sends such a horrible message if the teacher is not there on time. There's so many illustrations that can be used of this. There was once a missionary here who showed up. He's to report at 9 o'clock during our Bible class hour. There's a missionary here. He showed up at 9 o'clock. That's when he got it. Now, he said he had family issues and he had a young child and all of that, and that's understandable sometimes, but here we were, ready to start, and he runs in at the last minute. Now, there may not have been a whole lot of people that knew about that, but the ones that realized what was happening, you know, what's the deal here? He can't get here on time? Well, if a missionary needs to be there on time, a teacher needs to be there on time. So get there early. Used to be a slogan that was used by various men in this congregation that talk about the fact, you know, if you're 10 minutes early, you're 5 minutes late. So set your clock on making sure that you're early. Number seven, This won't necessarily apply to every class, but it should apply to most classes. Begin each class with a prayer. What a great way to start class, and it is to talk to God. We're getting ready in the class to allow God to talk to us through His Word. Start the class by talking to God. Now, this needs to be done especially on Sunday mornings. It's not absolutely essential on Wednesday nights, because on Wednesday nights we've already gathered in the auditorium together. We've already prayed as a congregation together. Now we're going to classes together. It's not essential that you pray at that point together, but on Sunday mornings, when it's the first time that we're together on that day, what a great way to start that time together, by having a prayer together. Number eight, when you are presenting your lesson, use your notes. And that may seem obvious, but sometimes I've seen teachers who, I know they have notes, I've seen their notes, they put their notes down, but all of a sudden they put their notes down and they forget they have notes, and they're all over the place in teaching their class. Now, whether you use an outline, whether you use a manuscript, whatever it is, use your notes and stick to your notes. Make sure you have your outline, what we talked about in here. You need an introduction. You need a main body of discussion and Bible study. You need an application. How do I take what we talked about, make application, and you need a conclusion. Please don't try to wing it. Please don't walk into class, I studied this for several hours this week. I ought to be able to, I ought to be able to remember some of what I've studied, and just, I'll go without notes. Please don't do that. There's no sense in doing that. Your study has enriched your life. You have written these things down that have enriched your life. Use your notes. Stick to your notes. That's what's going to make the class the very best that it can be. Now, as you are using your notes, number nine, as you are using your notes, be open and welcoming to comments and questions in the class. And this is hard sometimes. It's hard for me sometimes. Not always, but sometimes my more natural way to teach is a lecture. And that's not intended to be rude or harsh or anything like that. It is just sometimes I have so much that I've got to say, that I want to say, that I want to spend the whole time being the one doing the talking. But in a Bible class, it is really important to be open and welcoming to comments and questions. Now, again, the venue, the class itself, the room itself, is going to sometimes dictate how open and welcoming you can be. In the auditorium, it's difficult. Now, doesn't mean you can't have discussion. Doesn't mean you can't have comments and questions being offered in the auditorium class. Well, and if you teach in there, try to do that. But here's one thing you need to do. In your preparation, put into your notes, prepare some open-ended questions. Write them right there in your notes that you can ask in the class in order to encourage participation. So as you're putting together your notes, here's what I could ask in class. And open-ended means it's not yes, the answer is not yes, it's not no, it's not God or Jesus or the Bible, it's not just a one-word answer. But it's an open-ended question that encourages people to participate and to offer input into the class. So what meaningful questions can you ask to try to generate some discussion in the class? What helpful questions can you ask? Even at the end of the class, as you're trying to wrap things up, incorporate some questions there that kind of review. You ask some questions at the end of class that help people to go back and to pull everything that you studied together. All right, let's review some of the main highlights, and you can do that by asking questions, which helps them to pull together what they have learned. And let me encourage you to ask questions that have easy answers. Sometimes I've been in classes where the questions that were asked, the answers were kind of complicated. People aren't going to answer those kind of questions. And if they do, what's going to happen sometimes is it's not going to be the answer that you want if you're looking for something complicated. So try to make something that's, one, easy to answer, and that in and of itself will encourage people to participate more. Now, as people are participating, as they're answering questions, as they're making comments, realize that not every response is going to be correct. I've been in classes sometimes where teacher will ask a question, And it's an open-ended question, and so it could have six or seven or eight different answers. And so people start offering answers, and well, he says, well, no, not really, no, not. And the answers that people are offering are legitimate answers, and they actually are appropriate answers to the questions asked, but he's looking for only one specific area, and so he kind of dismisses. Yes, really. They are legitimate comments. They are relevant answers to the question that's being asked. So what do you do when you're getting responses that, in one sense, aren't the ones you're looking for, and in another sense, may not be correct in what they're saying? Let me encourage you, first of all, to be careful. Be careful how you respond. You need to ensure that truth is presented and that truth is what reigns supreme in the class, but you also need to be careful that spirits are not crushed in the class. You know, if you crush somebody's spirits, not only will they not participate anymore, there'll be other people say, well, if that's how David's going to respond, I'm not really going to speak up in this class because I don't feel like him. I don't want to have him come down on me like he came down on so-and-so. And so when somebody makes a comment, and again, if it's a legitimate, you know, a comment, don't minimize it. Even if it's not exactly what you're not looking for, don't minimize somebody's answer. Don't put somebody's answer down. Boy, that could really hurt, you know, the whole flow of the class. It will stifle discussion. Now, if somebody makes a comment that's just error, that it is unscriptural, it is not a biblical answer, and it is not what Scripture teaches, then you need to make corrections. But again, do that in such a way, you know, the idea of speaking truth in love. Do that in such a way that you don't crush the person who said it. You know, it all varies on who's in the class and who's making the comments. You know, but it could be coming from a new member. It could be coming from a new convert who doesn't know any better. It could be coming from a young person that maybe does not realize the depth and the breadth of Bible truth on this matter. It could be coming from a visitor. It depends on where this comment's coming from. But you need, if error is spoken, you need to deal with it. You cannot let error, something unscriptural, be stated and that just set in the class and it not be dealt with. But deal with it carefully. Address it from a scriptural standpoint and then move on. Now, as people make comments, try to find something useful in the comments that are made, and if possible, try to incorporate their responses into the class. You know, don't quickly dismiss, but try to say, yeah, that's a great point, and here's what we can do with that, and here's how it fits. And, you know, sometimes when people make comments, it will generate some thoughts even in your own mind that, oh yeah, that reminds me of something I saw in my study. I don't, you know, I didn't prepare it for this class, but, you know, I saw in my study that this and this and this and this, and it can enrich the class a little bit more. And so you kind of bounce off of somebody's comment. Now, if somebody asks a question, and we want people to ask questions in class, if somebody asks a question in class, you need to realize as a teacher that saying, I don't know, is a perfectly good and acceptable response to that question. If you don't know the answer, please don't give an answer. That's the last thing that you need to do, is to try to answer a question that you don't know the answer to. And sometimes we think, well, I'm the teacher. I'm supposed to know the answer to these things. So I'll try to say something that sounds about right. No. Please don't do that. Say, I don't know. And that will actually create some respect for you that you are willing to say, I don't know. Or, you know, and follow up that by saying, you know, I'll find out and get back to you. You know, I'll find out and get back to you individually, or I'll find out and I'll bring it to class next week and address this in class. You know, again, you want to stick to your notes. That's what you've prepared. If somebody asks something that you don't know and you don't have your notes, don't let it totally move the class away from where you need to be. You know, saying I don't know is a perfectly good and acceptable answer. Now, number 10, Number 10 kind of flows right on with what I was just saying, and it flows right into this being open and welcoming to comments. Number 10 is maintain control over the discussion as the teacher. You are the teacher. You are the one who is responsible for what is being said in this class. You're responsible for what is going to be taught. You're responsible for the direction. Where is this class going? Where will it end? You're responsible. So maintain, as the teacher, control over the discussion. Remember, you wrote a thesis that says this class has this purpose. Stick with your thesis. Don't let comments that are made take you too far away from your thesis statement. Try to incorporate them. Try to use them to even bring you back to your thesis. But don't stray too far away. Maintain control. Realize that as the teacher, you need to do what you can not to let somebody dominate the class. That there are certain personalities, certain people that they like to talk, and they like, maybe not intentionally, but they will dominate the class if you will let them. You need to not let somebody dominate the class. You need to not let somebody draw the class completely away from the subject at hand by some random comment that may be something they've been thinking about, something that they heard, and all of a sudden you're way over on another subject, a whole other discussion that is not where you are. It's okay to say, when somebody makes a comment, it's okay to say, you know, that's kind of not our topic today. That's kind of off topic for what we're doing today. And, you know, maybe that's a class for another time, or, you know, maybe we can discuss that privately or in another venue, but that's really kind of not the direction of our class today. I appreciate you making that, but let's get back on topic. You're the teacher. You got to maintain control and not chase too many rabbits as you go through the class. Number 11, and this was, I sort of talked about this a little bit ago, but I want to make sure that we have this point on here, and so that's why it's here, number 11. Don't teach what you don't know. Somebody says, well, that's kind of obvious. You can't teach what you don't know. Sometimes we do. Sometimes we try to. Sometimes we feel pressured to have that answer or to say something that sounds about right. Don't teach what you don't know for certain. Don't teach something that you haven't studied thoroughly. If you're not sure about it, don't teach it. Even if you prepared a lesson, all of a sudden you realize, you know, I'm not really sure about this, change your subject then. You know, if you're not certain about it, go and teach something else that you are sure about. You know, the Bible says that teachers will receive a stricter judgment in James 3 and verse 1. As teachers, we need to remember that. We need to remember that every word that comes from our mouth, we are responsible for. As a Christian, I am responsible for every word that proceeds from my mouth. And even more so as a teacher, I am responsible. I will receive a stricter judgment. And so when you're teaching the class, don't raise questions in the class that you cannot answer. Don't ask a question that you say, well, you know, I've been thinking about this, and you ask the question, and all of a sudden, all sorts of answers are offered, but you're not really sure what the answer is. Now, all sorts of answers have been offered. What's the right answer? Don't ask a question that you don't know the answer to. And if questions are asked, or if you ask questions and that's a part of your lesson, don't leave questions unanswered. You're the teacher. You need to make sure that truth is taught. You need to make sure that questions are answered. I've been a part of classes sometimes where either it was the teacher's questions or other questions that were asked in the class, and they were never answered. Those questions were left out there in the open, and oftentimes there were a variety of possible answers provided, but an answer was not nailed down. As the teacher, you've got to nail down the answer. If you're in a class that's talking about instrumental music, if you're in a class talking about the role of women, if you're in a class talking about the return of Christ and the events of the second coming, if you're in a class that's talking about, you know, the plan of salvation and whether baptism is absolutely essential, if you're in a class, whatever it is, You cannot have some topic that is just left open and, well, you know, we're not really sure, you know, about this matter of instrumental music, you know, and so it's just going to have to be kind of left up in the air. No, you need to make sure that answers are nailed down, because even if you say, well, we'll talk about this next week, guess what? If you have 20 people in that class that week, you will not ever, I've never seen it, you will not ever have those exact 20 people in the class the next week. Somebody's going to be out of town, somebody's going to be sick. All of a sudden you say, you know, well, you know, that's a question we're going to have to reserve for next time. You need to at least provide a short response to make sure that all loose ends are tied up. Don't teach something you don't know or haven't studied thoroughly. Number 12. This one took me a while to appreciate. Sometimes when individuals are asked to teach, sometimes they think, why are you asking me to teach? Why me? I'm going to walk in and teach, and brother so-and-so is going to be in that class. And they're thinking about some preacher or some elder or some deacon or some seasoned Christian or some former elder or some former preacher who's going to be in that class, and they think, you're asking me to teach? I'm going to go in and teach, and brother or sister, in some cases, so-and-so is going to be in that class. What do I have? I can't teach with them in there. They know so much more about the Bible. Number 12 is lean on the mature, knowledgeable Christians in the class for support. Don't let them make you nervous. Don't let them make you feel intimidated. They're not trying to intimidate you, at least most of the time. They're not trying to intimidate you. Lean on them. Trust me when I say they are your friends. They're your friends. They're your allies in that class. They are your brethren in that class. Most of the time, they have been where you are. They know what it's like to be where you are. So don't allow them to intimidate you. Lean on them in the class for support. First time I ever taught an adult Bible class was when I was 15 years old and asked to go out to the Belglade congregation and teach and preach out there on a Sunday morning. Preaching I had no problem with. Preaching, I'd been doing that for a while, and preaching I had no problem with, because when you're preaching, you're the only one talking. You know, that's a one-way conversation. I can handle that. You're not allowed, you're not supposed to speak up during the sermon, so that's okay. But in a Bible class, well, that's a different story. Because now people feel inclined, they feel comfortable, they feel, and should, because the opportunity is there in a Bible class to speak up and to say things and to ask questions. And so my concern when I went out to Belglade was, are you kidding me? I'm going out there with people that are 60 and 70 and 80 years old who've been in the church for decades and decades, and here I am 15 years old and I'm going to be getting up and teaching a Bible class? What in the world am I going to do with these individuals in there? And what if they start saying things and asking things that I have no idea what they're talking about? And so I got this advice, which I thought was sound advice first time I went out there. This individual, this brother here, said to me, when you get out there and you're teaching, if you get in a spot, if you get in a situation, if something happens and you just don't know what to do or what to say, ask brother so-and-so what he would say. Ask brother so-and-so what he thinks. And I wish for the life of me I could remember to this day what brother so-and-so's name was. But they told me, I'd never been to Belgrade. They told me he's going to be sitting in the back. When you're standing up, he's going to be in the back right of the auditorium. So from the auditorium's perspective, he was on the back left pew. He said, he's going to be sitting on the back right, and if you get in a situation, you just ask brother so-and-so what he thinks, what he would say, and let him handle it. I was so glad. I was so glad when I was told that, when I was given that piece of advice. And so I give that piece of advice to you. You're in a class. Something comes up, ask brother so-and-so or ask sister so-and-so. Some widow in the church is 70, 80 years old, knows the Bible better than you do, can run circles around your Bible knowledge. Ask her what she thinks. Ask him what he knows about what the Bible says. If a question's asked, you might say, somebody asks a question, you might say, no, that's a really good question. Brother so-and-so, what do you think about that question? If you come to a passage, you don't know what a passage means, and somebody says, what does this mean? You say, well, that's a really good question. Brother so-and-so, what do you make out of this passage? Now, it's not that they're infallible, but it is that they probably know a lot more than you do. So instead of being intimidated by them, lean on them. They are your friends. They're your allies. They're your brethren. Lean on them for support, and they will be there for you. They will encourage you in that. And that can be one of the greatest things that you can do in that class, is to make them feel a part of the class as well. Number 13, you've taught through your lesson. You've got there early. You've prayed as you have been getting there. You've walked in, and as you see who's in there, you have thought about, okay, I've got this many people. I'm in this kind of a setting. I've got my notes. I'm going to ask these questions. I'm going to encourage participation. I'm going to control the participation. You get to the end of the class, wrap up the class. Wrap it up in a nice package at the end. Instead of just running, we're right to the end and then you're done and okay, we'll see you later. Take the last minute, take the last 2 minutes. Wrap up the class at the end in a nice package so that everything that has been taught can be put into one final summary. So that people can take that little snapshot, that little package home with them. So you say, what are the main lessons? What are the main lessons to be learned from this study? And you just bullet point list those main lessons. What are the main takeaways that can be used to build our faith? I'm leaving here. What's the main thing that I need to be taking away from this? What are the main applications that I can make to my everyday life? So you look at those main applications, you look at the main highlights, you give a summary of them. That way, as they're leaving, that's the last thing they've heard. They have been reminded of the key points, highlights, applications, and takeaways. And when they have that nice little package, then their mind can go back and connect the dots with the details that have been talked about over the last 40 minutes that are tied to that nice wrap-up summary. Teaching is one of the greatest joys you will ever have being a Christian. Whether it's one-on-one teaching somebody the gospel, whether it's one-on-two teaching two people the gospel, whether it's one-on-20 or 30 or 200, teaching. You will learn, those of you who have taught, you know this to be true. As the teacher, you will learn more than anybody in your class ever will. You will benefit more than anybody in your class will ever will. Your faith will grow. Your strength will grow. And you will draw closer to God as a result of being a teacher. Thank you for being a part of this class. I hope that it has been helpful, useful to you, and that you will be a faithful teacher of God's Word and be an instrument to be used in this congregation or whatever congregation. Instrument for God in teaching the gospel. Thank you for being here. See you later.